Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning, Mr. Potts.
Morning, Bobby.
How are you,
What's
Mr.
So
Potts?
Fine, so, thank you. What is this noise? What is this accent you're doing?
What noise?
There's no name, Mr. Potts. How are you, Mr. Potts? What's all that about?
I'm just being subservient, sir.
Quite right.
First of all, I'd like to apologise deeply and humbly for a mistake I made yesterday.
What was it?
Well, I got it completely wrong and I apologise. In fact,
this is leading up to something about trade deals or, go on, let's hear it.
The true worth of the Australia-UK trade deal to the British economy is not, in fact, 0.2%.
No,
it's less than that. It's 0.025%.
It's still important. Incremental advancement.
£1.11 per year for each citizen of the UK.
Right. Onto the Federal Reserve.
Yes, please. Go on, fire away.
Something is a little bit more market moving.
Is Jerome Powell losing his bottle?
Well, there was certainly a distinct change in tone coming through from the Federal Reserve as the US Central Bank appeared to deviate from its message that the spike in inflation is merely transitory. They reiterated the view that inflation is likely to subside as the supply of goods catches up with consumer demand, but said officials would respond appropriately if price pressures were more persistent. Officials sped up the expected pace of policy tightening, and Chair Jerome Powell said policy makers would begin discussion about scaling back bond purchases. Central bank acknowledged the economy is making good progress, so that's some positives there, although still some way to go on some of those dual mandates. Upgraded its estimate for inflation over the course of the next 3 years. This is really important. They suggested that its preferred measure of PCE inflation would hit 3.4% during the course of this year, obviously significantly above the target level. Its forecasts now anticipate 2 interest rate increases. Should remember that's not until the end of 2023, so still some way off. FOMC raised its growth forecast to 7% this year, up from 6.5% projection back in March, maintained the 2022 expansion forecast at 3.3%. So somewhat of a balanced message for investors there. The economy is strong, business investment is picking up, labour market's improving, but there are risks around inflation. Policymakers need to be cognizant of that. So for a long time, they've been singing from the same hymn sheet. It's merely a spike due to base levels, due to energy prices, due to disruption in supply bottlenecks. Now, just starting to hint, it's perhaps a little bit more ingrained than they previously suggested.
Well, this is interesting because somebody in the Financial Times was saying yesterday that once inflation is bobbling along at 2%, it's all right, we can put up with 2%, another half a P on a packet of Pringles. But once it gets to 5% and stays there for quite some time and starts feeding into consumer prices, then people really do start to notice it.
Yeah, there's some areas really to watch out for. You talk about producer prices, they've been rising quite significantly. Does that start to bleed into consumer prices? Perhaps some early signs of that coming through. And watch wage growth. Look out for the labour market recovery, that shortage of labour putting pressure on companies now to be paying more money, and that can really spike core inflation, and that's where the concern will start to rise from. So yeah, there are some key areas that we'll be focusing on over the course of the next few months to get a better idea whether these pressures are indeed becoming ingrained, and that means they have to take an even more hawkish view in terms of what they should do with policy.
Well, you'd think the United States has enough people to fill the jobs to go around, but interesting to see reports by the employment firm Indeed in the UK this morning showing that searches by EU-based job seekers for work in the UK down by 36% in May from average levels in 2019.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what's been taking place in terms of labour markets. Now, clearly there's some people who don't want to return back to work at the moment, whether that's because they're happy with the furlough money that they're receiving, whether that starts to taper off a little bit, whether they're concerned around COVID and don't believe it's safe to go back, whether they've still got childcare problems, which means it's impossible for them to go. So the range of reasons you can point to why there is some nervousness across the labour market. I think that return to work rate will be incredibly important. As the furlough scheme starts to unwind, how quickly will those workers get back into the labour force? What does that mean for companies? If they don't come back at a rate that's required, then you've got that inflationary pressure starting to build, as we were talking about. And of course, as a result of Brexit, you remember Brexit has taken place, and I know you follow these things. And it's the supply of European labour into the UK diminished so dramatically that puts further pressure on people trying to get workers.
Yeah, bring the Aussies in, you know, that's the answer, isn't it? All the under-35s, they can come in and work in the bars and the care sector.
I think that
and...
is a very stereotypical view of an Australian worker as merely, you know, working.
You want another schooner,
so
Bruce? But traditionally, see, the British worker doesn't want to do these jobs, hospitality, resale, and the care sector. So unless they improve the wages dramatically, it's not going to attract your average British worker, is it?
Absolutely right, and that puts certain sectors particularly vulnerable to that supply shortage. And we're starting to see those companies reacting to those measures and starting to strategically change the way in which they go about recruiting staff. But it's certainly not an easy task.
Anyone would think they didn't know what they were doing, but maybe. Daddy Weatherspoon can start a drive to sort of rejoin the single market.
I don't think he's likely to go that. Should we do market reaction to our friends at the Federal Reserve? Let's try and keep on track today. Bond yields jumped, dollar strengthened, equities closed the day in negative territories. Although we're off the session lows, the S&P in fact was only down 0.5%. The real reaction, of course, is in bond markets. Yields on 10-year Treasury notes posted the biggest one-day advance in 3 months. Yields hit 1.57% from 1.5% on Tuesday. Asian shares a little bit weaker, nothing too dramatic there, but we are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 30 points, DAX over in Frankfurt down 43 points, CAC 40 in Paris off 24 points.
And back in the days, the good old days of the Cold War, we used to say the Russians are coming, but now it's the Chinese are coming, and they're coming at a race of knots from all directions.
They are indeed. Latest figures coming through from China are actually quite interesting. May's data release showed perhaps further evidence around the slowing of the economy, and perhaps we're seeing that the peak in terms of this recovery phase. Growth in factory output fell for a third straight month. Retail sales, investment growth also came in below economists' forecast. If you look at the headline numbers, they're still quite impressive, but do show that slowing. Industrial production rose 8.8% in May year on year, lower than 9.8% in April. Retail sales, which of course have been lagging behind manufacturing, rose 12.4% in May, down from 17.7% in April. Similar picture for fixed asset investment. So I think the numbers are a little bit distorted, of course, by the weaker figures from last year. Two-year average figures still represent solid, but certainly not spectacular growth. Chinese consumer and business confidence has been rising. Pent-up demand, quickening vaccination program is helping to revive domestic tourism. In terms of the economic outlook, China looks set, I think, to cement a remarkable recovery during the course of this year, growth around 9.4%. But the comparatives are now normalising. Some clear headwinds have been developing. So I think expect year-on-year growth rates certainly to moderate over the course of the next 18 months. China drifting back towards that new trend growth rate, somewhere around 5.5% we've got penciled in for 2022. But we'll be watching the Chinese data very carefully indeed. Big influence in terms of global growth prospects, absolutely, but also its status as this leading indicator of the recovery. China, the first to come out of COVID, of course. If we look at that recovery and expect it to play out in a similar pattern elsewhere, then following China is not a bad idea.
I heard they want to buy Cobham.
They want to buy Cobham?
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they're going to kick you all out and put you down the salt mines and move in themselves.
Do you not think that, well, it's just a desirable place to live, isn't it?
You yeah, that's why I want to buy it.
Want to live here. Okay. You're losing the plot in your later years, aren't you? You're really going off the wall sometimes.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar, 140. Euro dollar coming in at 120. You can get 1 euro, 16.5 cents for that British pound this morning.
What do you think they're building a space station for so they can look at you?
Go and have a lie down and put the air conditioning on. So you have got new air conditioning, actually, haven't you?
I'm not even speaking about that. Talk to you tomorrow. Right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts from Barclays.